Grace be unto you and peace from the Lord God Almighty, the God who uses his holy powerful word to create and strengthen the gift of faith in our heart, the God who uses the light of his holy word to guide us as we journey through this sin-darkened world. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, have you ever stopped to notice how many choices we make in our day-to-day lives? Walk through just about any aisle in the grocery store. Do you see just one kind of bottled water? Or just one kind of chips? Or just one kind of apple? Or do you find a whole multitude of choices? Last week, Brenda asked me if I would go down to Safeway and buy a pack of hot dogs for the boys. I asked her to write down exactly what kind of hot dogs she wanted me to buy. Why? Because when I stand in front of that whole sea of hot dogs, I wanted to make sure that the hot dogs that I purchased were hot dogs that the boys would actually eat. Walk through just about any used car parking lot and notice how many different makes and models and colors there are to choose from. And I don't even want to think about what it would be like to walk through the clothing department of a store looking for a new Easter outfit for my wife or my daughters or my granddaughter to wear. How do we choose, my friends? How do we know which choice is best? For the most part, it comes down to personal preference, doesn't it? Brenda drives a Ford because she likes her Ford. I drive a Buick because I like my Buick. But my all-time favorite car is my baby blue 1967 Camaro. Why? Because I like it. If we were to take a moment to look back over the course of our life, it would be very easy for us to see that we make a multitude of choices each and every day. Some of the choices that we make, they have a relatively minor impact upon our life. And some of the choices that we make have a very powerful, long-lasting impact on our life. We understand that truth. We accept that truth. We experience that truth over and over again. With that backdrop in mind, I have chosen to use two words directly from our text for today to serve as our sermon theme this morning. Those two words are found in verse 19 of our text, choose life. We have a twofold goal this morning. First of all, let's see how those two words and what those two words meant for God's Old Testament children. And then, let's see what those two words mean for us, God's New Testament children. Choose life. As historic Lutheran Christians, those two words might cause us to squirm a little bit in our chairs. Why? Because many of us have learned and memorized Luther's explanation to the third article of the Apostles' Creed. I believe that I cannot, by my own thinking or choosing, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. But the Holy Ghost has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. In light of Martin Luther's explanation to the third article of the Apostles' Creed, why did I choose to use our sermon theme for today? Here's an even better question. In light of these inspired words of our God, why do we believe, teach, and confess Luther's explanation to the third article of the Apostles' Creed? This, my friends, is an excellent example of why I teach that when you are studying a portion of Scripture and it's causing you a little bit of difficulty, there's only three things you need to remember. Context. 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 In Luther's explanation to the third article of the Apostles' Creed, he is talking about the subject of conversion. How someone who is born spiritually blind, spiritually dead, and spiritually the enemy of God becomes a Christian. Here in our text for today, Moses is not talking about conversion. No, rather, Moses is talking about remaining in that covenant relationship that God graciously established with his chosen people. The generation of Israelites who had come out of slavery in the land of Egypt, the generation of Israelites who stood and trembled at the foot of Mount Sinai as the Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, revealed to them the requirements of the covenant that he was establishing with them. The generation of Israelites who refused to enter into the promised land because they did not trust that the Lord their God would fulfill the promises that he had made to them. Their bodies were now scattered, buried across the desert after 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. Now was the time. Now was the time for the Lord to reaffirm his covenant relationship with their children. This critically important aspect of understanding our text for this morning is brought out very clearly in the verses that precede our text. In verses 11 through 14 of Deuteronomy chapter 30, the Lord reminds his children that remaining faithful to him, by remaining faithful to the covenant that he had established with them, is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. Why? Because the Lord had already used the power of his holy word to work in their hearts. In verse 14, the Lord says to his children, "No, the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart, so that you may obey it." The words of our text were not addressed to unbelievers, my friends. These words were not spoken to the Canaanites or to the Jebusites or to the Hittites or to any of the other ites that were currently living in the promised land. These words were spoken to God's dearly beloved children. These words were spoken to believers. It is in that context that the Lord God of heaven and earth places before his children two choices. Look once again at the opening portion of our text. The Lord says, "See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. But if your hearts turn away, and you are not obedient, and if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess." The two choices that the Lord God was placing before his children are very clear, they are very concise, and they bring with them some very powerful consequences. God's children, the children who have already seen both the grace and the justice of God. Remember the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night, the quail and the manna in the desert, the poisonous snakes in the wilderness. God's children could choose to remain faithful to him by choosing to remain faithful to the covenant that he had established with them, or God's children could choose to be unfaithful to him by choosing to be unfaithful to the covenant that he had so graciously established with them. How were God's people to reveal what choice they were making? The choice that they made in their hearts, my friends, would be evident in the actions of their life. Choosing to remain faithful to the Lord, by choosing to remain faithful to his covenant, would be evident in their love for their Lord. It would be evident in the way that they strove to walk in his ways. It would be evident in the way that they tried to be obedient to the commands, decrees, and laws that the God of heaven had given to them. Choosing to remain faithful to the Lord, by choosing to remain faithful to the covenant that he had established with them, was synonymous with choosing life. How? Moses explains it to us when he says, "Now choose life, so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God. Listen to his voice and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life." Choosing not to remain faithful to the Lord, by choosing not to remain faithful to the covenant that he had established with his children, would also be evident in both the hearts and in the lives of their children. Their hearts would turn away from the Lord, and they would bow down to and worship idols. Their lives would be marred by disobedience to the commands, decrees, and laws that God had so graciously given to them. Choosing to be unfaithful to the Lord, by choosing to be unfaithful to his covenant, was synonymous with death and destruction, not just in this life, but also in eternity. As we look back over the history of God's Old Testament children, it is very easy for us to see that the Lord God of heaven and earth was serious, absolutely serious, when he said to them, "See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction." When God's children were faithful to him and to the covenant that he had established with them, the God of heaven blessed them in ways that they could not even have begun to imagine. But when God's children were unfaithful to him, by being unfaithful to the covenant that he had established with them, the God of heaven withdrew his blessings from them and poured out his wrath upon them. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. Does the Lord God of heaven and earth place those same two choices before us, his New Testament children, my friends? He absolutely does. The God of heaven graciously entered into a covenant relationship with us when he adopted us to be his own beloved child in the sacrament of holy baptism. The God of heaven reminds us of that gracious covenant that he has established with us every time we approach his altar to receive his holy supper and hear him say to us, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." Purely by his power and purely by his grace, we are indeed in this blessed covenant relationship with the one and only living God. Not because of our own thinking or choosing, but only because of what God the Holy Spirit has done for us. He called us by the gospel and enlightened us with his gifts. At the same time, we need to remember. We need to remember that while we cannot choose to become a Christian, we can choose to reject and neglect the gift of saving faith that God the Holy Spirit has created in our hearts. We need to remember that while we cannot accept Jesus and everything that he has done for us on the cross of Calvary's Hill, we can choose to turn our back on our brother and walk away from him. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. How do we, as God's New Testament children, reveal what choice we are making? Like God's Old Testament children, the choice that we make in our heart will indeed be evident in the actions of our life. Choosing to remain faithful to the Lord, by choosing to remain faithful to the covenant that he lived and died and rose again to establish with us, will be evident in our love for the Lord. Here is where each and every one of us needs to closely examine our own heart to see who or what is most important to us, if money or material possessions is more important to us than our Lord, if pleasure or leisure is more important to us than our Savior God, then we need to seriously reconsider the choices we are making in our life, choosing to remain faithful to the Lord. By choosing to remain faithful to the covenant that He lived and died and rose again to establish with us, will also be evident in the way that we strive to walk in His ways. I'm not exactly sure how to determine this, my friends, but other people, they are evaluating us. They are evaluating how we live our life. And they are indeed watching. They are evaluating us by listening to the way that we talk. And they are most certainly listening. When someone looks at the way that we live and listens to the way that we talk, are they able to see that we are different? Are they able to see and to hear that we are in the world, but not of the world? If the people around us are not able to see and to hear that we are Christians, if the people around us are not able to see and to hear that we belong to Him, then we need to seriously reconsider the choices that we are making in our life, choosing to remain faithful to the Lord. By choosing to remain faithful to the covenant that He lived and died and rose again to establish with us, will also be evident in the way that we strive to keep His commands, decrees, and laws. Not because we have to. Not because we're trying to earn God's grace or earn God's favor or earn God's forgiveness, but simply because we want a way to show our love and our thankfulness to Jesus for everything that He has so graciously done for us. Here's where each and every one of us needs to examine our life in the light of God's holy inspired word. Do we consider God's Ten Commandments to be more like 10 suggestions? If so, then we need to seriously reconsider the choices that we are making in our life. Look at portions of Scripture such as our epistle lesson for this morning. If we consider our wisdom and what other people are telling us as a higher or a greater wisdom than the wisdom that God has revealed to us in His Word, then we need to seriously reconsider the choices that we are making in our life. Look at our gospel lesson for today. If we are ignoring or downplaying or dismissing what God Himself commands us on the pages of His holy word, then we need to seriously reconsider the choices that we are making in our life. Now choose life, so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God. Listen to His voice and hold fast to Him, for the Lord is your life. We make many choices in our day-to-day lives, my friends. Some of the choices that we make have a relatively minor impact on our life, and some of the choices that we make have a far more major and long-lasting impact on our life. As Christians, as people who have been brought into a covenant relationship with the one and only living God, as sinners who have been redeemed through the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect, as people who enjoy that glorious, wonderful covenant relationship that God has established with us, may the good Lord grant that we will always strive to follow His imperative and choose life. To God be the glory. Amen.